Alright, now then, we're going to try to get started here. I'm going to ask Brother Taylor to do a little erasing here, if he will. Let's see now, what can we erase? Alright, now then, we can erase this over here. Most of you have it. Don't erase this, but erase most all of this down in here. I think that we can erase most all of this down in here. It'd be alright. And, we'll leave our tree and our cross over yonder on that side, if you will. And now then, remember, today we left off where Joseph had been sold into bondage. We'd gotten down as far as where he had been sold into bondage. And then we left off right there. Now, how many of you appreciate what God's doing? You appreciate what God's doing? We got the trailer court down there, and we got the water working right now, and everything's just wonderful. The water is fine water. Look like we've got plenty of it. And I think today they said that Brother John was approved, as far as I know, to get his trailer, and the rest of them has got their trailer, and well, a number of them, and just about all of them's got their trailer now. And God is really working marvelously for us. Now then, occasionally we have somebody to come in, you know, that say bad things. The Bible said, warn of that man everybody speaks well of. They did that with the false prophets. But if they mock us and say evil things against us and cast out our name as evil, the Bible said, if they do this falsely for my sake, my name's sake, we'll rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven for us, so persecuted are the prophets before you. I had a woman to come down from Atlanta here. We have a lot of people come down from Atlanta and different places around, Carolinas and Macon and so forth. But we had one to come in here, and she went off and said, that fellow's just criticizing, because I think I must have got on her toes. And somebody come with a report and said she was struck down with spinal meningitis. And then we had another one that made a remark about us. Said some things about us, and the other day he got in trouble and they put him in prison. And of course, you know, there's another that made some remarks, and somebody like to stab him to death. And how many of you remember us making a statement in the meeting over in Forsyth, Georgia, that there'd be somebody that would die there to watch that thing? And as a fellow kept walking across in front of the tent, they grieved us with his shirt off there. We tried to reason with him, and I said, that man, if you don't watch that, he's going to die and go to hell right there. Young man. He died. They sent me, somebody remembered it, and sent a report over and said to tell Brother Pike that man died. Said we remember him saying that there'd be somebody to die here, and so that fellow died. All right, now then, let's pick up where Joseph went down into the land of Egypt. He was sold into bondage. They cast him into the pit. And after that they cast him into the pit, we told how the Mennonite merchants, or the Mennonite people, came along and picked him up there. And remember now, Ishmaelite, Mennonite, all of those people come from some man, some lineage there, like Ishmaelite comes from Ishmael, and so forth. Every one of them has some forefather there, like Abraham was, of the Israelites. And you know, the Israelites come from the name Israel. And today they still call them Branhamites and all kind of ites, you know. It just goes right on and on. Don't ever stop. So, but anyway, here we find them. And we spoke of Dothan here. And Brother Taylor tells me it means the place of two whales. And this place Shechem means the place shoulder here. All right, now it is believed that Shechem here is the same place where Jesus talked to the woman at the well later on. Now we can't prove that, but it's believed to be that. And we want to bring out some things that maybe we can prove a little later on in the teachings. But Joseph was cast into a pit, and then the Mennonite merchants drew him out while his brethren planned to draw him out. And they beat him to it, and they sold him to the Ishmaelites, and he was taken down to Potiphar, which was the captain of the guard, the officer of Pharaoh. And the Bible said that when this man took Joseph and bought Joseph, remember, they sold him for 20 pieces of silver. The Mennonites sold him to the merchantmen for 20 pieces of silver to the Ishmaelites, and then they sold him into bondage in Egypt. I don't know how much he got out of him down there. We find that everything that Potiphar did, it prospered. Everything from the time he took Joseph, it prospered. Now, I made the statement this morning, you take a man of God into your confidence, into your home, you take the church into your confidence, into your home, and you start supporting it, and you'll prosper. For the Bible said, they that bless you shall be blessed, they that curse you shall be cursed, and whoever we bless will be blessed. That's the Bible. And so then this man, the Bible said that God blessed everything that he did because he had Joseph. Now, you say, well, does this hold true, Brother Pike, with anybody? There's another recording in the Bible where it says that they took a certain priest into their home, and the Bible said they begin to prosper. Every time you bless a person that is a Christian, you are blessed. And then the Bible teaches that after Joseph was taken out of the hand of Potiphar and put down in prison, the man that put him over the prison, the Bible said whatever he began to do was prosperous. So then it stopped off with Potiphar. So you see, it wasn't Potiphar that was being blessed, it was Joseph that was being blessed. The Bible said he was a godly man, and we brought some of these things out the other night. We might relate them or go back over them here right quickly. The Bible said that he was put over everything that his master had. And everything that his master did prospered, and the Bible said that God blessed him. Now then, just before we carry on here with Joseph, notice that between the time Joseph is sold into bondage, between this time that he falls into the pit and is sold into bondage, Judah, there's something that happens to Judah. Remember, Judah said, let's sell him. Now, brother, be sure your sins will find you out. You just be sure of that. Reuben's sins found him out when Jacob blessed him down there and said he's unstable as water. That's what he said about him. Levi and Simeon, remember how they went over there in Shechem and destroyed the people over there? And when Jacob blessed them, he said they're instruments of cruelty. They're self-willed, he said. And then we find Judah here. Even though Judah is blessed of Jacob as being, extensively speaking, as being the one from which Shiloh shall come, yet in spite of this, Judah pays for his wrong. We'll just see just what happens to him. The Bible said after this, Judah went down to a certain place and turned into an Adullamite. Now when you think of it saying turning into an Adullamite, the first thing you think is a woman. No. However, the Adullamite was a man. It was a friend that he turned in here to a friend, which was Hira the Adullamite. He turned in here, and the Bible said he saw a Canaanite woman named Shua. And here, the Bible said that he went in unto her. Well, you again think of harlotry. But that wasn't right, because Judah took her to wife. And so then, the Bible said she bore him three sons, and we brought them out. We named these sons the other night. We brought them out here, how that God had blessed Judah with three sons from this woman, Shua. The Canaanite, the Canaanite woman. Now, the Bible said that Judah went in unto this woman, and she bore him three sons, and that he also had a daughter-in-law by the name of Tamar. Now then, the Bible teaches the first son died. We named these the other night. The first son died, and his first son was and the second was Onan, and they died. The first one here was wicked in the sight of God. The last one was Shelah. And the first one was wicked in the sight of God, and the Bible said God smote him. And then that left Tamar a widow. And then the Bible says that Judah told Onan to go in unto his brother's wife, that is, take her to wife, and raise up seed unto his brother, that the name of his brother be not cut off, that the name of the lineage might continue. But the Bible said that he went in unto her, and this is plain talk, but this is what the Bible said, and it said the seed was spilt upon the ground, and God was angry, and when he did, the Bible said that he also killed Onan. Alright, then after this, knowing that it would not be his children, the Bible said he refused to do that unto her as a husband. And so then, Shelah was promised unto Tamar. And Judah said, now you wait until Tamar, until Shelah is old enough, and I will give Shelah to husband to you. Now the Bible said that when Shelah was old enough to wed Tamar, that Tamar saw that she was not given unto Shelah to wife. Then the Bible said that she put on off her widow's garments, And she put a veil about her, and she wrapped herself, and she went over to a place called Timnath. Now remember, this really shows something here, if you can keep your minds out of the gutters now, and be pure-minded here. Went over to a place called Timnath, and there she feigned herself to be an harlot. And Judah given to the passions of the body, when he came by, the Bible said he and his friend Ahira the Adullamite went up there to share the sheep or something up there, and when they got up here to Timnath, and remember this is the same place now where Samson come to get his wife here. So it really shows something here. He went up there and he found this woman by the wayside and he thought her to be a harlot, and he asked that he might come in unto her, and she said, "What will you give me?" She said, "I want a pledge." He said, "I'll give you a pledge." And the Bible said, he asked, "Well, what shall I give you?" And he said, "I want your ring, which is your signet." Now remember these three things show something spiritual here. I want the signet from your finger, which is a ring. I want the bracelet, and I want your staff. These are the three things now I'm asking for. And he gave them unto her as a pledge, but the thing she asked for was a kid. She wanted him to give her something to eat. She acted off as a harlot, and she acted like she just wanted him to give her a kid, which was a goat or something. And he said that he would give her a pledge until he could deliver this to her. She took the pledge, and then after this conception, she went off. At this conception by harlotry, she went off, and she kept the pledge, and when Ira the Adullamite returned with the kid to take the pledge, she was gone, and it put Judah to shame because he couldn't find it. So when Ira the Adullamite inquired of the harlot that was there, they said there was no harlot here. So then later, 3 months later, the Bible said she's found with child by whoredom, and they come to Judah, and they say, "Your daughter-in-law is with child by whoredom." And then the Bible says that Judah immediately said, "Bring her forth and burn her." You see the difference in the day that they lived in, the day we lived in. Now today they just practice harlotry, and they just go up and down the street and practice harlotry, give in to the passions of the body, and the law permits it, and everybody permits it, and it's just a big thing, a big exciting thing for them to commit the evils that they commit. But the Bible said in that day they took them and burned them when they committed harlotry like that. If you had a daughter and had a wife, or somebody that committed these evil things, they'd take her out and burn her to the stake out there. That's right. Somebody said, "Well, God's changed." I beg your pardon. He hasn't changed at all. The Bible said, if a son curse mother and father, let him die the death. Some of the rebellious children that rise up against mother and father, the Bible teaches, that have been stoned to death out there. God hasn't changed a bit. That's right. You say, "I think God's changed." My friend, you're going to find out that burning at the stake and stoning to death is a lot easier death than burning in hell. You're going to find that out. God hasn't changed. He magnified the law. He told Jesus, "I haven't changed any of it." Jesus said, "I come to magnify." So then you find out God hasn't changed. He just give a little space of grace in here for you to get right. And when he pours out his wrath on the harlotries and adulterers, the Bible said God hateth the whoremonger. That's right, you whoremongers. God hates you, the Bible said. And he's angry with the wicked every day. And he said, "I'll pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth." All of this talk going around about God loving everybody, and God's going to bless everybody, and God ain't angry. The Bible said God is angry with the wicked every day. He said, "I will pursue you till you perish from over the face of the earth." That's right. All right, so then you see, the Bible said that when she was brought forth to be burned, she sent to Judah and she said, "By the man who owns these am I with child." So the Bible said when Judah saw these things, he acknowledged these things. Now he acknowledged these things. Remember, God creates the good, God creates the evil, and God has his way in every one of them. I want you to notice something here. A lot of people get critical, but I want you to be clean-minded and notice something. Did you know that through every act of harlotry, just about, it was the way that Christ come? Did you notice that? All the way down, you see this act of harlotry? Here's where Sarah and Phares comes in, right here. That's right. Sarah was the one that his hand broke forth in the breach. Or rather, his hand was out. They tied the red cord about it. Twins was in a wound and so forth. And Phares broke forth by breach and come forth first. All right, now then. But the thing is, Judah acknowledged these things right here. Acknowledged these things and said, "She's more righteous than I am because I promised to give Shelah to her as a husband that she might." They said, "Well, why did Tamar do a thing like that? Why did she want Shelah? Why didn't she go marry somebody else?" Because here she was supposed to have an inheritance out of the house of Jacob, and Jacob was a rich man, and she wanted her inheritance. She deserved it. Her husband was gone. They didn't get an inheritance, and she intended to have a husband or have a seed if she had to commit harlotry to get it, so she'd have some of the wealth coming to her. And so then she went and played the harlot. So then you see right here, through the seed of Phares comes Christ. You run on down. He goes on to David. I named the lineage. You got it wrote down. Check back and you'll find out. It come right through this, just exactly like it come through the harlot of Bathsheba. Right on down. God did it. Always showing the great harlot and always showing the seed of Christ coming down. Showing the beast and everything all compact in one and showing God getting a church out from among the Gentiles. All right, now so then you see Phares here. Now, Judah paid for his sins when he sold Joseph into bondage, didn't he? The Bible said his first son died. Then it said his second son died. And then it said his daughter also died. So you see, he paid for his sins. The things that he did wrong, he paid for them. Like David over there. Somebody saw David. Or they read about David, you know, and through the eyes of the understanding, they see David committing harlotry, and they think it's a big thing, and they say, God, he's a man after God's own heart. And then some of these evangelists, they go out here and they commit harlotry, and they say, well, I can repent over it. David, repent over it. And they go back, but they overlook the fact that the Bible said the sword never departed out of David's house. All he ever had was heartaches and trouble. You see here, Judah committed wrong, didn't he? But my brother, look, he lost 3 children right there. Now, if you think that you want to commit wrong out here with some man's wife or some man's daughter, if you want to do it and pay that kind of price, then go ahead. Then you have 3 funerals in your home, and you'll see what I'm talking about. I don't think it's worth it to you just for a few minutes of passion. All right, when God has given a man and woman right to passion and to satisfy their passions in purity according to God's plan. All right, now, you see these things that's happened here. All right, God made his sins find him out, didn't he? All right, then remember the staff, the signet, and the bracelet, and you'll get something out of it. If you look right close enough, you'll get something out, because through this act came the seed of Christ here. All right, now then, but notice now after this, the Bible tells us that Joseph was found with Potiphar down here, and God was blessing everything he done, and watch the act of harlotry again. All the way through, it's an act of harlotry. All right, now, notice it again. Here's the woman. The Bible said Joseph goes into the house to take care of his master's business. And at this particular time, there's nobody in the house. This ought to learn you men and women something, that men have no business in a man's home when his wife, with his wife when the husband's not there. You ain't got no business there. How many of you know you ain't got no business in his house when he ain't there? You ain't got no business there. Now, in the same way with the woman, she ain't got no business there with the man either. And it's picking men up and giving them rides. You ladies that pick brother up here and give him a ride over yonder, you ain't got no business doing that. Now, I know it's a different thing when you run into something out here where somebody's stranded in trouble, but you got no business doing that. That's right. All right, now then, I know some of you are bold enough to do it anyway because you're self-willed, but you still ain't got no business doing it. All right, now, so you see, Joseph was here in the house, and the Bible said while he was in the house, this evil woman started probing at Joseph again and kept saying, lie with me, lie with me. And she had her husband, but she was wild in passions, and the devil had come on her and excited her passion, and she started crying out. Now, the Bible said that Joseph, being a godly man and an upright man, he turned and he said, I'll not do any such a thing. He said, I won't stoop to any such filth and lewdness, because I'm over all that my master has here. And said, I'm not going to do it. So she wild with passions and saw that she couldn't prevail. Being wicked, she grabbed his clothes and tore some of his clothes off of him, trying to get him, force him to take up time with her. And Joseph, being a man of integrity with God in his heart, he tore out of the house and he left the garment there in her hand. And he refused to take up time with her. And then she flew in a rage, and she felt like, well, if I can't subdue you, the devil said, if I can't subdue you and overthrow you, I'll put you in prison. So that evil, devilish spirit, that ugly, filthy thing that was in her, rose up and began to accuse Joseph and caused him to go down in the dungeon. But my brother and sister, the Bible said all things work together to good to them that love the Lord Jesus Christ. It was God all the way. You say, why was this, Brother Pike? The same thing with the church. Why did the church go through what they had to go through with? Paul said, because we're always delivered unto death, counted sheep for the slaughter, showing about the dying of Jesus Christ and the suffering of his body in our life from day to day. That's what we do. Everything working together for our good to show the Lord Jesus Christ is suffering and his dying over and over in our body, that God might be glorified, that God might bring us from victory to victory over every evil that attacks us, to show the victorious Christ in our life. Paul said, God chose me from my mother's womb to reveal Christ within me. Now God will reveal Christ in you as the Word's made flesh proportionally according to your yielding and surrender to Almighty God. According to your surrender, that's how much of Christ will show forth in you. All right, now then, Paul said if we know him in the fellowship of his suffering, then we can know him in the power of his resurrection, having been made conformable unto his death through his suffering. Writing obedience by the things he suffered, the Bible said he became the author of our salvation, was made perfect, also the finisher. Now then, we see here in this thing, another harlotry act took place just as it did with Judah here, with Tamar. And the Bible said that this woman screamed out and called the servants of the house and said, this Egyptian, this Hebrew, he tried to mock me and tried to force me to lay with him, all these things, and tried to cause Joseph to look bad in their eyes. And then when the master of the house come home, he was angry because he believed his wife. Now that I want you to notice this, we brought it out the other night, the Lord Jesus Christ hanging upon Calvary. You see it here in the life of Joseph. As Jesus hung upon Calvary before he would commit spiritual harlotry with this world, like some of you are doing, before he would commit harlotry with this world and let the evil powers of the world and the lewdness of harlotry overpower him, the Bible said the inner man of Jesus Christ tore loose from this outer man, which was the garment, we spoke of the coat of many colors. He tore loose from this outer garment and left it in the hands of the world and went back to be with his Father before he would let the world defile him and before he would take the integrity of his heart out against God. So then you see, according to the Bible, Joseph here showing the life of Jesus Christ over and over in his sufferings. It was the same thing that happened to our Lord. Jesus was faithful and he tore loose. The Bible said that they gamble over his garment there as he hang upon Calvary. They gamble over his garment and they could not find any seams in it. As the song says, it was woven by his mother. And I say this, that we know that the church garment is woven by the church. The garment of the Lord Jesus Christ that we wear is woven by the church because the Bible calls it the garment of righteousness. The righteousness of the saints, the Bible said it is the wedding garment. And we know that that righteousness is woven by the hands of the mother, which is the church. And we are arrayed in that beautiful garment. The Bible said they tried to separate it. The thieves gambled over it and cast lots for it, but they could not find any seams in it. Now, today you know Jesus called the church a bunch of thieves and robbers. That is, those that did not live according to the scripture, and said, you've made my Father's house a den of thieves. And it's true that they are actually gambling over the church and trying to divide it into the church of God and into the assemblies of God and into the Pentecostal holiness and into the Methodist and into the Baptist and Presbyterian and the Catholic and I don't know how many hundreds of denominational parts they're trying to divide it in. But the Bible said the truth of it is they found no seams in the garment. Eventually they learned they could not divide it and finally they had to give up on it. And so then, it's a true fact that the real church of God will not be separated. They might divide what they think is the church out there, but the real church of God will not be separated. It'll stand as one compact unit. They'll march hand in hand. They'll speak the same thing. They will not break ranks, and they will not pierce each other through. It's a garment, as the song says, woven by the mother, and there's no seams within it. So then you see the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose body you are members in particular, hath no seams in it, and it is a garment of righteousness that is woven together part to part. And Joseph showing this down there, he refused to take up time. Now, notice this. After he refused to take up time with this woman, the Bible said that he was put in the dungeon. Is that right? Now, after Jesus refused Calvary, where was he put? Let's go over here for just a minute. Did he go into the dungeon when he refused the woman, which is the world, the harlotry? Then he went into the dungeon, didn't he? He went into the prison, for the Bible said that he went, spoke of the souls in the days of Noah, the long suffering of those that waited in the days of Noah. The Bible said that Jesus went into the heart of the earth to preach to the souls in prison. Isn't that right? These souls were in prison, and the inner man, the God-man, which came forth in the resurrection, went into the heart of the earth to minister to these souls in prison. Men like Abraham that was there, men like Daniel that was there, and the great patriarchs of old, he took the Holy Ghost to him. Why did he do this? Because the Bible said these without us could not be made perfect. Isn't that right? Said that all of these died under the law, not having received the promise. Is that right? Why? Because the Bible said these, seeing the promise fall, embraced it and confessed that they were pilgrims and strangers in this land, but they without us could not be made perfect because God had ordained that the Holy Ghost should come when at Calvary. And so then they could not be made perfect. They saw these things, but they could not be made perfect. We brought it out the other night, how that the days of Noah over here where he got drunk off of wine, how that it pointed and paralleled with Calvary, back over here where Peter got the keys to the kingdom and where he got drunk off of the new wine over there. Alright, then of course you see the act of harlotry that happened also in the days of Noah that brought about Sodom and Gomorrah. We spoke of that. So then he went into the heart of the earth here because they without us could not be made perfect. These men saw the promise. They embraced it. Now what was the promise? The promise was to Abraham that through thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Not seeds as of many, but Christ, seeds as of one through Jesus Christ. And so then through thy seed shall all nations, the Bible said, be blessed. Through the seed of the Lord Jesus Christ, all nations shall receive redemption. And the Bible said that they without us could not be made perfect, inasmuch as the promise to Abraham was the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, his seed, the Holy Ghost, which came at Pentecost, and Joel said this is the last days, the thing, the prophecy of Joel that was to come to pass in the last days, where he would pour out his Spirit upon all flesh. And this thing died out at Pentecost, just giving us a preview that it might be manifested in this latter time of pouring out his Spirit upon all flesh. I said your sons and daughters would prophesy, your old men would dream dreams, and your young men would see visions. In the last days, I pour out of my Spirit upon the handmaids. Now then, that's why the church out here is having a revival. The church out here, not the bride now. The bride is not a handmaid. But all of these other churches out here, they are handmaids, which has worked with the church. They always sent a handmaid along to deliver children because it was a midwife. They didn't have doctors in that day. And it was a midwife, but he said, I'll pour out of my Spirit upon the midwives. Remember that Jacob also married the handmaidens. And so then they got blessings. Abraham had handmaidens, and there they were blessed. But remember, the Bible said that Solomon and David, they gave unto their concubines, which is a common law wife in Mexico. They gave unto these concubines gift, and they gave unto these handmaidens and their children gift and sent them away, but they were not heirs to the kingdom. They did not receive the power of riches and the authority of the kingdom as it was with the promised child, which is also the bride of the sons of God. They did not. They were sent away with gifts. And we've got a good picture of it today. All these handmaidens, which is denominational powers, is the redemptive names of the Lord. There was the redemptive names of Jehovah Jireh and Jehovah Shalom and all these other names, about nine redemptive names there, that we see it portrayed in the denominational powers of today. God using redemptive names as Baptists and Methodists and all this, but that's all it is. It's a redemptive name because the body itself is the name Jesus Christ. And so then all of these is just named by which he works to bring about the handmaidens working and causing, bringing forth the deliverance as the travail comes to the bride. So then these are just handmaidens, but he promised to bless them and give them revival, or that is to pour out his Spirit upon them in the last days. Then he said, your sons and daughters would prophesy. Now then, the Holy Ghost will show you things to come. Is that right? All right, through the mind of Christ, we see things to come. So Jesus went into the heart of the earth here. And as he went into the heart of the earth here, according to the Bible, he preached to the souls in prison. We brought it out the other night in that dissecting of that triune thing where one part went one way, one part went another way, and one part went another way. That we brought it out as it was stretched over in an extensive manner toward the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ in the millennium here, being the Sabbath of God. All right, now then, according to the Bible, Joseph went down into the dungeon, and let's just get some idea here of what Jesus did while he was down in the dungeon. First of all, the Bible said that Joseph wound up with the keys to the place. That's what Jesus did, wasn't he? The Bible said that Jesus went down there and he came forth with the keys to death, hell in the grave. Is that right? He overcome everything. He come forth with the keys. And here he come over with the keys with death and hell. And he stands over there in the book of Revelation and he tells John, I've got the keys, he said, to death, and I've got the keys to hell. He didn't say to the kingdom because he doesn't give them to Peter. But he did have the keys. He took them right here when he went down there. He had those keys. He came out with victorious with the keys according to the Bible. And now, how do you know what keys are? The Bible speaks of those ministers of that day back there said, ye have taken away the key to knowledge. Is that right? Ye have taken away the key to knowledge. And so then we find what the keys are. If we look real close here. The Bible said one over in Revelation said there's an angel come out of heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. You understand what keys are? So then we find right here that while Joseph was down here in the prison, he took the keys and soon everything down there was under his hand. Everything was under his hand. Now then, let's just get a picture here of what happened. The Bible said that Pharaoh was wroth with his chief baker and with his chief butler, which was the officers of Pharaoh. And he put them in ward, the Bible said, which was down in the dungeon. He put them down here in ward. And the Bible said while they was down there, one morning they had a dream, and one morning here Joseph, he come around. And the Bible said he looked at him and said, why are you sad? And one of them said, I've dreamed a dream. The butler said, I've dreamed a dream. And Joseph said, tell me the dream. They said, we don't know the interpretation. He said, well, the interpretation belongs to God. He said, tell me the dream. Now, I want you to get a picture of this tonight now. So the butler, he said, I had a dream. And here he said, I had a dream. And he said, I dreamed that there was a vine that sprang up. And he said, out of this vine there came forth three branches. We'll let Frank illustrate it here. Came forth three branches out of the vine, and he said, out of the branches there came forth the buds, and out of these buds, he said, there came forth the fruit. And out of the fruit here, he said, I mashed this fruit into Pharaoh's cup. And then when I mashed it into Pharaoh's cup, he said, I delivered it into Pharaoh's hand. And here's something beautiful, if you can see it. And so then we see it here. Now notice it's the vine, and then it's the branches, and then it's the sap that's in the branches, and then it's the little buds that come out on it, and then it turns into the grapes. Now then, he asked him the interpretation, and he said, here's the interpretation. He said, the three branches mean 3 days, and in 3 days ye shall be restored back into the presence of Pharaoh, and ye shall again serve Pharaoh and deliver the cup in his hands. Now, apparently what Joseph saw was the sap of this vine right here. Now let's look at it. Jesus said, I'm the vine. He said, ye are the branches. Is that right? All right, we know that the bud of the branches indicates faith. Isn't that right? Solomon speaks of this in his writing over there. So then we see these little buds that indicate faith, and from this faith bud comes forth the fruits of the Spirit. And then comes forth the grapes, and we call it the blood of the grapes, which signifies the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm interpreting according to the way I understand it. And then there comes forth the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here Pharaoh, being back in this life of here, is a symbol of God because he's the rich man or the great man of that land. And here Jesus Christ is in the heart of the earth redeeming the prisoners. And here they stand there to be judged according to what they knew back under the law. And here the Lord Jesus Christ is rewarding them accordingly. He rewards the baker according to his dream. He rewards the butler according to his dream. I made the statement the other night that in this world, this is a dark night. David said the valley of the shadows here. So this is a dark night, and God looking down from the hilltops of glory, he can't look upon sin. So Jesus comes into this world. He interprets our light. That is where we're in this night here as lights that show forth in the night, reckoning time from evening unto morning. So he comes here and he interprets our dream, which is our mind here. Like you're in a daze or like you're in a dream going through this life. He interprets your life, and you are judged according to your deeds done in the body. That is your dream while you're here. Jesus said you're dead while you live. That is your sleep. He referred to it as sleep one time. And so then in the darkness of the night here, he said he would come as a thief in the night, which means in your carnal mind of night. All right, so then here Jesus comes to remember Pharaoh up here. These men indicate those two kind of people, as it was at the cross there at Calvary, the thief on one side and so forth on the other. Here it indicates those that have died out of life, that served Pharaoh, that is served in this life, died out of life and gone into the grave, and now it is determined as to what their resurrection will be and what their reward will be when they come before God. And so then here Joseph is down here as a symbol of Jesus, in the heart of the earth judging the souls in prison to see who's going to get the Spirit of God and see who's going to get the wrath of God. Two kinds of people. And so then he takes this year. And he said, now, the Father is the vine. He said, I am the vine, you're the branches. As long as you abide in me, you bear fruit. If you don't abide in me, you're cut off, men gather you and burn you. All right, now then, speaking of hell, now the water that comes in here, remember he said, my father is the husbandman. He's the owner of the vine. I'm the vine. He said, my father, he's the husbandman. He's the one that owns me. And you're the branches that run off from me, members in particular. And this life which is in this vine, now remember, God owns the vine, and Jesus is the vine, and of course you're the vine because you're the branches. And the Holy Ghost is the spiritual life that is coming up into the branches. The Bible says the trees of God are full of sap. And here comes the Holy Ghost of life up into these branches. And out of the bud of our faith comes forth the fruits of the Spirit, which is the grapes of the vine. And out of these grapes comes forth the blood, which is referred to as the wine of Pentecost, the new wine, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, that which has strength to preserve the alcohol, it has the power to preserve within it. And here comes forth the wine that maketh the heart merry, the new wine, the Spirit of God, the blood of Jesus Christ. And it comes forth here into the cup right here. You see it? Now remember, the Catholics use this. The Catholics use the cup. They have a golden cup that they drank this out of. And the Bible speaks of their cup being full of the fornication because they have a symbol and that's all they have. But we have the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And David said, this is my cup. And he said, my cup runneth over. And the Bible said this was pressed into the cup. Isn't that right? So it was pressed in the cup. The blood here being atonement for this man's sins. It was pressed into the cup. You follow me now? It was pressed into the cup. The blood atoning for his sins showed that his service had been satisfactory to Pharaoh. And he was restored 3 branches, 3 days and night in the heart of the earth. Restored, and he went back. And I brought it out. How did the Gentiles from Calvary go down 2 days? Isn't that right? 2 days, 2,000 years, and comes up on the 3rd one over there, which is the millennium. And so then, he was restored back. The Bible says it came to pass on Pharaoh's birthday that this butler was restored back, and he delivered the cup into Pharaoh's hand. He was pleased with him, and he went back to his old job. Is that right? He went back to service. Why? Because the blood was the atonement here in the symbol, and he had to give a life of satisfaction. Notice butlership shows something of service. But then the next one was the baker. And when the baker saw that this interpretation was good, he said, I'd like for you to interpret my dream too. So the baker said, I was standing, and I had 3 baskets on my head. And on the uppermost basket, he said, he was full of all kinds of meats. I was taken into Pharaoh and said, here come birds of fowls, and begin to pick this meat out of the upper basket. And Joseph said, this is the interpretation of the thing. 3 days, and Pharaoh will lift up thine head, just as he will the butler. He said, and he hang you on a tree, and the bird shall pick the flesh from off of your bones. All right, now then, look at the interpretation of his. Notice, first of all, he was a baker. The Bible speaks of people that are gluttons and make their belly their god. They can't get out of the kitchen. And so then, notice his, everything he did was the service of his belly that made his belly his god, the flesh. You understand what I'm saying? He couldn't get out of the kitchen. He couldn't get his mind off the kitchen, we'll say. And so all of his labor, the Bible said, all of your labor is for your belly because your belly craves it of you, for you've made your belly your god. And David said, let their table be made a snare unto them. That is, they just can't get away from it. All of their labor is to get the biscuits and to get the meat and get the ham so they can get home and have a good supper. You understand what I'm saying? So it indicates here that his labor had been for the flesh. And the Bible said here, 3 days, it all goes through the very same thing right here. And those baskets, and here we see those 3 baskets here that indicates the thing. And here, as he's lifted up on the birthday of Pharaoh, he comes forth here, and he goes where? The Bible said Judas went out and hanged himself. Isn't that right? Now you say, what has that got to do with the revelation? The Bible said, cursed is every man that hangeth upon the tree. It shows that Joseph brought the curse upon him and told him that he was cursed, and that every man that dies out of grace, the Bible said he is under the law. And the Bible said, cursed is every man that continueth not in the law to do all things that is written within the law. And then Paul tells us that no man can't keep the law. No flesh can be justified by the law. So he's under the curse of the law. And he went out and hanged himself to show the curse, because cursed is every man that hangeth upon a tree. Is that right? Then in the book of Revelation, we're told that God invites the fowls, which is the evil spirits and symbols, to come to the great supper. And that's what they're doing right now. They're devouring flesh. They're coming to the great supper. And he said, come to the great supper and eat the flesh of great men, the Lord's supper. Come and eat the flesh of great men. And the fowls came and eat the flesh after the great battle, the natural flesh over there, to show the consuming powers of evil, the spiritual powers of evil that is consuming men today that reject the gospel. All right, let's go here for just a few minutes over here and pick it up. Look right here at Calvary. In the days of Noah, what happened? The Bible said he let out the dove and he let out the raven and they went out over the waters. Isn't that right? And they found the dead out there and the raven went out there and got his share of it. Isn't that right? That's right. All right, so then the dove was let out, which symbolized the Holy Spirit, but he couldn't rest anywhere until he found that olive tree over there. I found that branch of life. He couldn't rest. He couldn't feed off the corruption. So the Holy Spirit would not depart from the ark of the Lord Jesus Christ until there was life over there in the earth. Now, see the very same thing here at Calvary. When he released the Spirit, it went to paradise. It plucked a leaf from the tree of life, and it came back over here at Pentecost. Isn't that right? And here's the ark right here, was the body of the Lord Jesus Christ, which was pitched inward and outward in the likeness of Almighty God. And the Bible says here that he was pierced in the side to show the door of the ark. Where he was pierced here as he was, we brought it out the rock, the cleft of the rock, over there that Moses stood in, Jesus Christ being the rock that followed him. And in this rock, through baptism, as the water, blood, and spirit comes forth, then we're baptized by one spirit into this, through the water, baptism, and the blood, into the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. The name of the Lord being the strong tower, the righteous flee into it, and they are saved. And so then we see this right here. If you catch what I'm talking about, this was the flood right here, the wrath of God. And when God's wrath come down upon this ark right here, everyone that was in this ark, we esteem smitten of God, everyone that's in that ark during the time this wrath of God is coming down in the name of Jesus Christ, symbolized by water, the little ark that saved Noah over there, the ark of his covenant, bringing it again right here, the covering cherubs right over here, you see the two thieves on each side. They went through the wilderness. They had this ark that saved them from the all of these things that took place in the wilderness, saving them from the serpent, the brazen serpent lifted up. And then we see the ark here again, the ark of the covenant right here. Brought it out about the covenant. And the Revelation 10 speaks of the angel, the mighty angel that comes down with the rainbow over his head here. They said the messenger of the covenant shall come, which is Jesus Christ, Revelation 10 right here. All right, then we see this Lord Jesus Christ here as he hangs upon Calvary and the doors in the side. Isn't that right? And the Bible said that God preserved a specimen for the millennium in every way, didn't he? Two of the kind right here, didn't he? Now he preserved seven of the right kind because some of them was to be sacrificed. And you see the great sacrificing taking place through the dark age over here, which is the modern age. You see it taking place where men were sacrificed that you and I might come into this precious land of Canaan here in his symbol. And so then the Lord Jesus Christ, after this great deluge right here, what do you find? You find that men are twice dead and plucked up by the roots after this. See, after the great wrath of God comes down, then you find Pentecost, which is the new world that Noah came into. But you also find, remember, water symbolized people. You find corruption out here, where the waters are polluted out here. And the devil, which is the evil spirit wherein Christ was made sin, Satan was loosed to go out there as that raven to feed off of those that are in spiritual corruption. Until this day, he's still feeding off of those things that's floating around out there on those filthy, muddy waters. That's the way some people's minds are. And so then you see at the same time the dove went up there and got that leaf from heaven, came back at Pentecost over here with that tree of life, that symbol of eternal life. Isn't that right? The gift of God's eternal life, the measure of the olive tree and so forth that symbolized the all. So we see this thing taking place here as the Lord Jesus Christ went into the heart of the earth to judge the souls that are in prison. And then we get back to Joseph over here. Here we see this thing right here as it symbolizes that he that is hanged upon a tree, he is a curse. And Jesus hanged upon the tree to take us out from under the curse that we might not be cursed anymore. And so then we said the other night that he took our place in death and died out of the presence of the Father that we might take his place in life and live in the presence of the Father. All right, let's go a little further now. Now, can we stay with me just a little bit longer? All right, notice this now. Joseph, after this, He told the butler, he said, when it goes well with you, he said, remember me. The butler went out of the prison, and 2 whole years passed by. Now, there's 4 years in here that we can't account for. I don't know where it went to. There's no record of it in the Bible here we know of. But we know there's 4 more years we'll try to bring out a little bit. But 2 years went by, and nobody had mentioned Joseph. Then the Bible said that Pharaoh had a dream. Now, when he had a dream over here, the Bible said as he had this dream, he dreamed he was by the river, and 7 kine fat flesh, there was very good, well-favored, came up out of the river and grazed in a meadow. And the Bible said that immediately he looked, and 7 kine ill-favored came up out of the river and devoured the 7 fat flesh. Now, Pharaoh was troubled. And then the Bible said he went back to sleep, and he dreamed, and he looked, and here come up 7 stalks of corn, rank and good. Then he looked, and here come up 7 that was terrible, he said, that was very bad, and blasted by the east wind, and they devoured the 7 good ones. And so he was troubled, and he called for his wise men, his musicians, and all his kind friends. See, in that day they had men that could interpret. In that day, like Daniel and Joseph and different men, just like they got in this day, like Brother Branham and others that could preach the gospel and understand it. And then, of course, they had make-believers back there, which is this denominational preaching that they got out here. They had real and they had false back there that really didn't know how to interpret the things of God, the scriptures. But anyway, the Bible said that he was very disturbed. He called for them, and he couldn't do him any good. He called for the priest and everything. He couldn't do him any good. And finally, this butler said today, he said, I remember my faults. I do remember my fault today. And he told him about this man, said, we was there and we dreamed these dreams, and he interpreted these dreams, and it came to pass just exactly like he said. Said, you restored me, and you hanged the baker. And so then he sent for Joseph, and Joseph washed, Joseph shaved. Now see that resurrection, that new body and all. He washed, he shaved, and he changed his raiment, and he came and stood before Pharaoh. See Jesus going to the right hand of the Father. Now watch and see if he goes to the right hand of the Father. He comes up out of there, and the Bible said he comes to Pharaoh. Pharaoh tells him the dream, and Joseph said, it's one. Said, as much as you dreamed it twice, remember God established in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses. Said, it means the thing is established, and it will shortly come to pass. He said, God shows Pharaoh what he's going to do. And so he said, the best thing for you to do is plant throughout all the land and save a fifth part of it. Take a fifth part of this and save it through the 7 years of plenty. And then through the 7 years of death which is coming, he said, you'll have a fifth part from each good year to tide you over the 7 bad years. He said, this is what's going to happen, 7 good years of plenty, and then there's going to be 7 bad years. He said, let Pharaoh pick out somebody that's wise and discreet and set him over this matter that he might have food. And that time that the land perish not. And Pharaoh said, well, who's wiser than Joseph? He called together his counselors, and he said, who's wiser than the man that was able to interpret the dream? I called for all the rest of them. They couldn't do it. Said he was the one that done it, so he must be the wisest among them, so we might as well set him over. And so the Bible said he did, and at 30 years old, Joseph began to reign. Does that show Christ? At 30 years old, the priesthood starts at 30 years, and there at 30 years old, he begins to reign here over the house of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh said, Joseph, I'll only be greater in the throne. He called his name Zaphnath-Paneah. That's what he called him. And gave him a woman to the name of Asenath, which was the daughter of the priest of Potiphar. And so then the Bible said that he set Joseph over everything, put him in the second chariot, and as he went down the street, everybody said, bow the knee to Joseph. And so then he was made governor over all of Egypt. Now then, remember, there's been a lot of time that's passed by. Is that right? We've covered a lot of territory today. As a matter of fact, he was 17 years old when he left his father's house, and now he's 30. So that makes him, it proves he's been down there quite a long time. Is that right? You figure it up right quick, you get it probably 13 years or something like that. About the number of the bride. And so then you see here, he's been away from home now for about 13 long years. And he's become a governor, and he marries Asenath down there. And the Bible says that she bears him 2 sons, the Egyptian woman, which symbolizes the bride of Jesus Christ taken from out among the Gentiles. Here he marries her and she brings forth 2 children down there, bears him 2 children down there. And the Bible said from these 2 children, he is relieved of the grief here of his father's house. And so then the Bible said that Joseph was placed over all of what Pharaoh had. Now then, I'd like to try to go on and finish what little here we like, if you would bear with me, because I'd like to get into Moses on the next lesson, if we could. If you don't mind staying with me just a little bit longer. All right, now then, I want you to notice this. The Bible said 7 years of plenty, then 7 years of famine. Is that right? Remember, Jacob labored 7 years for one wife and 7 years for another. Isn't that right? And we said it was a type of Jesus Christ in his natural body going to get Rachel. Going to get Rachel. Remember, the resurrected Jesus came to the Gentile bride and got Rachel. And the natural Jesus went to the Jew and got Leah. Is that right? So he had to take the Jew before he could take the Spirit, because the Spirit is always bred within the natural. So he had to follow the pattern. He really wanted the Gentile bride, but he had to go through the Jew. Our time we say that the Jew is God's chosen people and make God a respected person, and the Bible said God has no respect to human anatomy. And when you speak of the chosen people being the Jews, it just means that he chose those people to use, just like you choose a ball team out here, that's all. Now, there's no difference with God. All flesh is flesh, and there's no difference. And the Jew got into trouble by not knowing them. So there's no special sect. I don't care how religious you are or how religious you've been. That doesn't move God one bit. Paul said we're all justified by faith. Your religion ain't worth a dime unless it's faith in Jesus Christ. That's all that matters. He purifies our hearts by faith. So your rituals, Baptist, Methodist, whatever you have, it's no good. It has to be Jesus Christ. Catholics is just like all the rest of them. And these churches is called Church of God, and Assemblies of God are just like all the rest of them, just another denomination. It don't mean anything unless you got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. So then you see here, God gives us a symbol of a time of plenty, spiritual plenty here. A time, the number seven is always a complete number with God. He uses the seven church ages and so forth. And he gives us a time here to show this in the 7 years of the church ages, which is plentiful. Is that right? God gives us seven church ages here where his Spirit is poured out and is plentiful, to where we can have all of the good things of God that we want. And the wise man gets it and lays it up. Isn't that right? But remember, he said after the 7 years of the church age and the planning, then there would come the 7 years of tribulation when there would be nothing. Isn't that right? There'd be a great famine that would come in, a great death that would come in, and during this time that there would not be anything. And at this time, Jesus Christ himself would rise up and rule. Isn't that right? Remember, Jesus rules spiritually through the church ages. And then through this time, when the tribulation comes, you know, when the brethren come in, is that right, Brother Tommy? The brethren come in during the tribulation, that right, when the Jew comes in, and the brethren came to Joseph during the famine. Remember, they did not come down there until 2 years of the famine was gone, isn't that right? 2 years of the famine was passed by, and Joseph was at that time how old? He was 30 when he started to reign. He spent 7 years of good times here, and now he spent 2 years, that's 9 years more. He's now 39 years old, almost 40 years old, just like Moses at the time for the delivering of the children of Israel, to show that 40, number 40. Now, remember, for the mourning of Jacob, you remember they took 40 days for the embalming, to show that it takes like that 40 days of fasting to Jesus, the embalming process of going into the wilderness, and then 70 days of mourning, the Bible said, showing that completeness over there, where God takes that span of 70 all the way over from the beginning to the end. And then they had 7 days, the Bible said, at the just beyond Jordan, at the floor, the threshing floor of Atad, they had a mourning up there that lasted 7 days over in Canaan. And the Bible said they called it Abel Mizraim, which I suppose went back to the misery of Abel over there, is why they used that. Coming out, that's a little bit later when we get to Jacob, and down there when he just as he dies. But the thing is, here we see the church ages and the planning, and we also see Jesus Christ ruling through the great tribulation. Isn't that right? But we see the great reign of Joseph during this time, where God has his power, authority, and he has his way in this time right here. And I would say that he pays us, friend, to take what we can in this time, because when this time comes, there's going to be a lot of sorrow. And I tell you, you're a lot further along than you think you are right now. All right, now then, after this, the Bible said that that Joseph ruled and reigned down here in the land of Egypt. He ruled and reigned, and instead of trying to go on, I think I'm going to stop here because I've held your attention real good. You've listened real good. And we could go on, but we might just better make another subject out of the last part of Joseph. All right, so then we see right here that Joseph is reigning and ruling, and the famine here, we stop right here at the famine. When we start back, the Lord's will, we'll refresh our mind on the famine and pick up the particulars here of it, and then we'll go on from there. All right, may the Lord bless you. Let's everybody stand together. I appreciate your attention tonight. Appreciate your kindness and your concern. And truly, I want to say this again as we come to the close of another service, that all of this about Israel and the Roman Catholic Church and all these things that's happening to the Arabs over there right at this hour means the end of the world is here. The end of the world is here. Remember when Christ left off with the Jews, he went to the Gentiles, isn't that right? I'm going to give you one more picture that you've probably already seen. He left off with the Jews, didn't he? Remember how we brought it out about Jacob, Rachel, and so forth? Now we see it in Joseph. He left off with the Jews. He left his father's house, isn't that right? He went down there to get the Gentile bride, isn't that right? But now when he got the Gentile bride, what is he doing here in the famine? He's turning back to who? The Jew, back to his brethren, back to his father's house. So we see it again. We're getting near the end of the world. We're right here. See it, a preview of it again. Back to the aisle, to the end of the world. It's coming right back in. So whatever you do, folks, remember that God is leaving off with the Gentile bride. He's leaving off with her right now. You might not believe it, but he is. You look in the church and see if there's travail. Look in the church and see if there's anything left in the church. You'll find that Rachel is bringing forth that last son, which is that Jew son. She's bringing him forth, and she's dying. The church is dying in travail right now, bringing this forth. This is the last thing. So then, the Bible said this was around Bethlehem that this happened, almost Ephraim. So let's tonight, let's remember these things and keep these things in mind because something is definitely taking place. Now let's sing that little chorus, Closer Than a Brother. Can you give me the key of G? How many of you remember what I said about how that I'd left off with my household, Dale, Cynthia, and Ricky, and how that God had led me to go and preach to them that was not my household, and I left my father's house, and how that he brought me back at the end time to my father's house, and I said, now watch Dale and Frank, they'll be moving down and be coming in because this thing has to take place, and we see it all coming in, is that right? All of it coming in just exactly like the Lord said. Let's watch everything and see just exactly what's happening in the Spirit.